We've all heard it before. It's who you know. Welcome to Social Capital, a weekly podcast that dives into social relationships and why the investment you put into them is so important. Your host, Lori Hybu, will connect with industry-leading professionals and dive into their networking experiences and expert advice.
Hey, everybody. Lori Hybu here. Welcome to the Social Capital Podcast. Our show notes are found at socialcapitalpodcast.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at LJ Hybu and on Facebook. This week's guest is Raj Daniels. Since 2001, Raj has been assisting individuals improve strategy and performance in business and personal lives. Raj helps executives, entrepreneurs, and business owners who are struggling to clarify and prioritize their focus so that they can be more intentional and accomplish their goals. He's been referred to as a guide, educator, and mentor by many in the Dallas business community and startup ecosystem. As of May 2019, Raj has stepped into the role of Director of Strategic Partnerships with Nexus PMG. Raj, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Lori. Great to be here.
I'm excited for your insights, as I'm sure you have plenty to offer. So why do you believe networking is so important?
So I've been asking myself that question for a while now, and it's led back to the answer that I grew up in Southeast London, and I didn't have a strong support community. And when I look back in my life and see the trajectory and the route I've taken, I look back and think to myself, what would it look like if I had a network, an intentional network, if I started out younger? And so I've doubled down on that and have been intentionally networking for about 20 years now.
Wow, that's impressive. I think that's awesome that you've been intentionally doing it for 20 years. And I'm sure unintentionally you were building relationships without having some plans mapped out. So what do you think about digital and social media networking overall?
I think it's a weak substitute at best. I know there are a lot of platforms out there, and they say, you can connect with friends, connect with people, but connecting with an inanimate device is it doesn't connect to your soul. And so I think, sitting down with individuals across a table, for a cup of coffee, making that a weekly, if not at least a monthly practice, I think a lot of problems that we're facing today as a society, I think, is because people have tried to substitute networking digitally instead of in person.
That's interesting and fascinating. There is something about having that face-to-face conversation as opposed to just reading someone's text or watching a video online, isn't there?
It's very two-dimensional, and there have been numerous studies that show that different parts of the brain, if you look in the fMRI, different parts of a brain actually light up when you're sitting across from individuals. Your mirror neurons get activated. There's a whole different set of emotions that get activated versus, your thumbs on a glass screen.
I love that. I think that's really insightful information to share. So how can networking overall improve society?
I've made it a practice to meet what I call three new people a week for many, many years now. And I'm agnostic. It doesn't matter what they do, where they're from, demographics, socially. And what I found is that when you sit down with an individual, you realize that you have more in common with them than you don't. And I think that, if we can come together and what we have in common, we can sort the rest of the stuff out. And so that's why I think that sitting down with individuals, regardless of their background, their where they fit in social hierarchy, I think that would be a solution to many of the problems we're facing today.
I think that's profound information that you're sharing. And I believe there's a lot of truth to that. I remember seeing a video and that was shared on social media about it's not coming to my head specifically, but a brand that brought a bunch of people to a room, and then there's some tough motorcycle guy, and then this little old lady, and a bunch of other just all diversified backgrounds, and then they'd ask a question like, everyone stand forward who's dealing with a recent loss or something, and then half the room stands forward, and it's like, well, there's a lot of commonality here, a number of questions, and at the end of the day, everyone was connected on a number of different levels where they would just initially reject or not even consider having a conversation and connecting with these other people just because of, the way they looked.
Right, absolutely. And you really can't do that through your thumbs.
There's a lot of truth to that. All right, so let's continue this conversation on networking a little bit. That's really the purpose of the show here, is to help alleviate that fear that some people have around networking. So, Raj, can you share with our listeners your most successful or favorite networking experience that you've had?
So my most recent, how I would describe as successful, I met one of the founders of Nexus PMG at a networking meeting that I've been attending for 4 years. And I met him, it was about 2 or 3 years ago. He was relatively new to the community. And I essentially opened up my notebook and my Rolodex to him. He was looking to meet some individuals in the VC funding area and some other technologists. And I just said, you know what? If there's anyone I know that you want to know, let me know. And so, because that's what my view on networking is, that networking is about, you know, helping each other. And so I said, whoever you want to meet, let me know. And, you know, I created some connections for him. Him and I hit it off and, you know, met a few times for coffee. And we had this thing together where we said, you know, we'd like to do something in the future. I'm not sure what it looks like, but fast forward to today. And so Nexus PMG became one of my clients earlier this year. And then later in the year, they made me a full-time offer. And now I'm here full-time because I fell in love with what they were doing. But I never would have known that 3 years ago when I had my own software company and he was just, you know, someone new in the community.
I think that's great. I'm a big advocate of your support for, you know, the new kid in town to some extent, and saying, you know, I'm here to help and any connections you want, why not? I think there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. I think it's amazing that you've been doing that. As you've grown your network and, you know, you shared that you've been intentionally networking for 20 years now, how do you stay in front of or nurture these relationships in this community that you've built?
So, you know, that's one area where technology has made life easier. It's so much easier today to pick up the phone, to get on a computer, you know, send a text message, hey, thinking about you, you know, send an email. I'm also a big believer in handwritten cards. And so, you know, every once in a while, I'll sit down with a stack of cards and just reach out to people that I haven't spoken to in a while. There's a few individuals that I really just, you know, we marked down in our calendars, you know, every quarter we're going to get together and either do a call or we're going to do a meal together or a cup of coffee. So I've got several of those paced out throughout my year too. And, you know, it's obvious that you can't keep in touch with everyone, but as that network grows, you have these concentric circles. So you have, you know, your tight number of, let's call it the Dunbar number of 150, and then you use the concentric circles to grow out of that. But when you're in a town like Dallas, where although it seems like a big town, or DFW seems like a big town, that 6 degrees of separation really comes into play. And sure enough, you eventually know somebody that you know. So, you know, trying to maintain, you know, an extremely large number is very difficult. But I think if you systematize it, whether it's through a personal CRM, which, side note, everyone that's listening, go to LinkedIn today, download all your contacts, make it a practice of doing so every 6 months, you can download a CSV file. So coming back to that, you know, you can make it a practice, put it in your calendar to just reach out to people and essentially stay in touch or stay in front of them.
I think that's fantastic insights that you shared, especially a little nudge for the LinkedIn contacts that just triggered my made a little note for myself there to do that.
They don't make it easy, but you can get there and do it.
Absolutely. And it totally makes sense. You should do it as a means to just have it as a backup, but also implement it into, you know, your CRM or whatever.
And have your own CRM also, your personal CRM.
Yeah. So what advice would you offer the business professional who's looking to grow their network?
I would say that approach it with a heart of abundance and looking to give. You know, I have a little phrase written on my whiteboard here. It says, the day you plant the seed is not the day you eat the fruit. And what I mean by that is that sometimes, you know, you can just tell where people come into a meeting and it's a very transactional meeting. And I'm sure there's a time and place for that. But I think when you're truly networking, you're looking to give, you're looking because you care, you're looking because you want to see the other person succeed. You're approaching it from an abundance mindset, is that, you know, you will always have enough. But I think the minute you move into a scarcity mindset, you're always looking to take. And I think Adam Grant has done some fantastic studies on givers and takers and shows that eventually, you know, givers do, quote unquote, win out. And so I would tell the business professional, open up time slots on your calendar. You know, Keith Ferrazzi has a great book, Never Eat Alone. And it doesn't matter who it is. Yes, occasionally you do want to get intentional and hone in on perhaps a prospect. But if you cast the wider net, you'll probably find that in the long run, your business or your profession, you'll benefit much more than if you try to micromanage it.
Well, I think that's fantastic. And I love the saying that you have on your board. I might steal that from you.
Absolutely.
The day you plant the seed is not the day
eat the fruit. Yes,
yeah,
ma'am.
I love that. Thank you for sharing that. And I think there's definitely a lot of truth in the givers win out, as you say, as opposed to the takers. And I think the givers are those that people remember to some extent, where the takers, you know, it's, and in my mind, they're not always top of mind, or, you know, so I think that to some extent, I can see that. What was the name of the book that you referenced, or the study, you said, right?
Adam Grant did the study, Givers and Takers.
Okay.
And then Keith Ferrazzi is the book, Never Eat Alone.
Yes.
I think people can really feel it. And I also believe that people as individuals have more to give than they think they do, even if it's just lending an ear to listen to someone for one day, for an hour or half an hour over a cup of coffee. It doesn't matter if it's not business related. In fact, I find that my best conversations, no transaction, no agenda, let's just talk like people.
Yeah, I love that. I agree with that. Where instead of trying to, come out with a sale or something along those lines.
Right, absolutely.
I know we touched on this a little bit as far as social media goes, but digital networking or traditional networking, which one do you find more value in?
Traditional all day long. If it's digital, then LinkedIn only, but I do feel like that's also sorely lacking.
I would agree. It's shifting to be more of a personal space slowly. But I do see some people on LinkedIn saying, hey, this is for business. This isn't the right spot to post this. So I'm glad some people are trying to put their foot down.
Yes, absolutely.
If you could go back to your 20-year-old self, what would you tell yourself to do more of, less of, or differently with regards to your professional career?
So that's a very difficult question for me, because I'm extremely happy where I'm at. I've got a great personal life, great family life. I've got three beautiful daughters that I absolutely adore. So I would just go back, and if I were to tell myself one thing, I'll just say, it'll be okay. Everything's going to be fine.
That's good. That's good insight, actually.
Wouldn't change a thing. I tell people I took the scenic route and it was wonderful.
I like that approach. You took the scenic route. I'm gonna write that down too. I would say that's the path I've been on. Okay, Raj, so we've all heard of the 6 degrees of separation. Now, who would be the one person that you'd love to connect with? And do you think you could do it within the sixth degree?
I had this conversation with my girls this past weekend, and I couldn't really put my finger on one particular person that I would like to, perhaps sit down and have a conversation with. I mean, there are the known favorites, just how do people think? So, perhaps, the Warren Buffett, the Charlie Mungers of the world, just to learn, understand, how their minds kind of work, their thinking mentality. But I actually just one person, it's hard to say because if I start picking, there are so many, and what criteria do I use to move them to the top? Indira Nooyi, I would look towards her because, she's an Indian woman that led a Fortune 500 company, and I love the fact that my daughters would have a role model to speak to and look at. But for me personally, I can't really tell you there's one specific person that I would say, this is the person I'd like to speak with. I love speaking to people that are, 20, 30, 40 years ahead of me in life and in their career, because I like to know, from longevity standpoint, what's kept them going. I don't ever see myself retiring. So I like to see people who are working, not necessarily out of necessity, but because they still enjoy what they do. And mm-hmm. so I like to talk to people like that who say, you know, for example, there's a gentleman I know here who's he's 78 and still working, but his father, last I spoke to my friend Trent, his father is 104, still driving, has an Apple Watch, you know, has all the, and I'm like, I said, I keep telling him, Trent, I like you, but I would love to meet your father, because that's the kind of guy I look up to. So what drives you every day?
I think that's great. I love that. I'm definitely a fan of surrounding myself with those I aspire to be, or those that have, that are, you know, 10, 15 years ahead of me, professionally and, you know, in, as a business owner or whatever it may be. Cause there's so much to learn from those individuals.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. So as, someone who's passionate about learning and reading, you've read off a couple of books that you've read. You've shared a couple of books that you've read. What book are you reading right now that you think our listeners might be interested in?
So I'm one of those maniacs. Amazon is my number one expense every month. I spend more money on books every month than anything else. It's my only vice, as I tell people. So I'm probably reading 2 or 3 books any one time. Right now I'm reading... So I do physical, I do Kindle, and I do Audible.
Okay.
Currently on Audible, I'm reading, I think it's called 21 Tips for the 21st Century by Yuval Hariri, the gentleman that wrote Sapiens.
Okay.
On my Kindle, I'm reading Climate Wealth by Jigar Shah. And my physical book right now is the biography of Vanderbilt.
Oh, cool. They all sound really fascinating.
So I look at books, you know, I've talked to people in the past before and they say, how do you read so many different books? And I draw the analogy of, you don't watch the same channel all the time, do you?
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of, depending on my mode and my mood and where I'm at, I, you know, the books differ.
Yeah. Oh, I'm in the same spot as you. I kind of have books sprinkled throughout my house that if I'm, I have a little reading nook, I got one book. If I'm in my bed, I've got another book. And, mm-hmm. you know, and it's where I'm sitting and that's the book I'm going to read. So yeah, I don't think I've ever just read one, put it down and then picked up another one and read that from start to finish without having a couple mm-hmm. other books in the way.
What are you reading?
Oh boy. Let's see. I've got lots of them in front of me right now. I want to pick one right now. What am I reading? That's a great question. Give me a second here. It's not coming to mind. There's so many of them.
Happens to me all the time.
Yeah.
I was prepared because you were going to ask me. You weren't prepared.
Oh, yeah. I wasn't.
The tables are turned.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for that. Let's see. I did buy a book recently that I started reading. About the Lost in Startup Landia. Actually, it's Wayfinding for the Weary Entrepreneur. So just kind of, it's an interesting read. It was recommended to me fairly recently. I also started reading the Wall Street Journal's Complete Small Business Guidebook.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you enjoying that?
Yeah, it's an easy read. That was another one that, I mean, pretty much every book that I've reading is recommended to me at some okay. point or another. And let's see, I'm scrolling through my Amazon orders right now.
Yeah. I don't do it in front of my kids. I'm like, how much
yeah. is that? I haven't started reading this one, but this one looks really fascinating. It's called A Random Walk Down Wall Street, the Time-Tested okay. Strategy for Successful Investing. So that one's probably the next one I'm going to start reading once I finish one of the other ones. I kind of have a rule that I can't have any more than 5 active books at a time.
And so. going back to your wayfinding book, I've been through many different entrepreneurial ventures and I don't think there's ever any wayfinding. It's literally like stepping stone to stepping stone. That's about it.
Oh, 100% agree with that. It is. And every business is different. I think that's why it's important to...
Oh, absolutely. So I've been very fortunate. I've been either a consultant, advisor, investor in at least 5 different verticals that I can name from the top of my head. And I mentor and advise many companies here in the DFW startup ecosystem. And I wrote a blog a couple of years ago and it says one size fits one.
Oh, Interesting. I like that. I like the thinking there.
Yeah, because there's no broad brush. There's no what works for me works for you. I mean, it's so difficult, you know, because each one of us are so unique in our thinking patterns and so in our backgrounds that, you know, sometimes we can try to perhaps use a tip or track tactic in our own lives or in our own business, but still we have to customize that to our own situations.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. So Raj, any final word or advice to offer our listeners with regards to growing and supporting your network?
Nike says it best, just do it and repeat and, you know, rinse and repeat. There's no stopping doing it. And I think if you want to improve your life and the lives of people around you, I think networking is almost a social obligation. And if, you know, if we go back into the, you know, just a few hundred years, if not even less than that, you know, we're all built on this basis of communities and tribes. You know, we are individuals that need each other, rely on each other. And if not now, then later. But I think we need to move back to the time and the thinking of communities in person, not online, you know, and manageable relationships. But, you know, the giving of your time, you know, people talk about tithing and, you know, giving to charities, but I think the giving of your time is the best thing you can do. And so even if it's a total stranger you meet in an elevator or you see an empty seat in the restaurant, you just ask the person, may I sit here and, you know, eat with you next to you and just talk to them. But I think it's something that should be taught to children in school. I teach my children all the time to network, talk to strangers, even though kids, you know, teach them not to talk to strangers, but say you sure. Need to talk to strangers. You need to learn to do that. Mm-hmm. I've given them a couple of, you know, tips and tricks to use. I love using the trick of Ford. So it's family, occupation, recreation, dreams. So I tell them, if you ever get stunted in a conversation, pull out one of these, you know, do you have family? What do you want to be when you grow up, et cetera, et cetera. But I think that networking should almost be mandatory, you know, as a school class, because, you know, we've all heard it. It's not what you know, it's who you know. Uh-huh. And how do you find who you know? It's networking.
Yeah, I think that's fantastic. And I love the acronym FORD. It's a good one to remember when you're kind of stuck on what to talk about.
It's so easy. You know, if you meet mm-hmm. a stranger, you can always go down the road of, you know, so do you have family living here? You know, so what kind of work do you do? You know, what do you do for fun? Or, you know, what did you want to be when you grew up? There's FORD right there.
Yeah, I think that's fantastic. Good little tip to share. All right, Raj, if anyone was interested in getting in contact with you, what's the best way they can reach you?
Feel free to email me, raj@rajdaniels.com. And then if we want to go digital, I'm on LinkedIn. So feel free to reach out.
Fantastic. We will include all of this information in the show notes. Thank you so much for taking the time to be on the show today, Raj.
Thank you, Lori. Really appreciate you.
Yeah, lots of fun, good conversations, lots of good tips that you've shared.
Thank you.
This wraps up our episode of Social Capital. A huge thank you to Raj for taking the time to connect with us. Join us next week for another great guest as we continue the conversation on networking and building your community. If you need me, send an email to Lori@socialcapitalpodcast.com. Otherwise, we'll see you next week.
That's all for this episode of the Social Capital Podcast. Visit socialcapitalpodcast.com for show notes, more episodes, and to see who will be on the show next. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next episode.